Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome, you're tuned into the best at Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave, that's Tim. Hey, we have some cool changes coming up pretty soon, so keep checking darknessradio.com or follow Tim and I on our social media for updates on those changes, and you'll keep up to date with all the cool stuff going on. And we have some changes I think a lot of people are going to like, Tim.
Oh, yes, very much.
I think a lot of people are going to dig these changes. Mm-hmm. So keep checking out darknessradio.com and our social media for updates on that. All right, Tim. Now, in looking for solid guests, interesting guests, I love when we'll get emails from somebody saying, hey, I'd like to be a guest on your show. Mm-hmm. And when I say, okay, well, if you're going to be a guest, what have you got to bring to us? And when you've got a guest that comes back and says, well, I'd like to talk about consciousness, I'd like to talk about something like reversing the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? How about time travel, Tim?
Yeah, that sounds good.
How about who and what's on the moon and what or who is on Mars, Tim?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
How about astral travel? Would you like to delve into that?
Sure.
Now, if we could only find one guest that could cover all of this, Tim. Wow, we did. As a matter of fact, he found us. Augie Nost is our guest this afternoon on the program. Thank you so much for joining us and spending some time here today.
Well, you're perfectly welcome. I'm going to have so much fun on this show that is probably illegal.
I like that. Let's give our audience some background. Now, you're also the host of the Universal Consciousness Show, but talk to us a little bit about your background and fascination with all of this.
Well, sorry, I had to clear my throat there. I guess I'm an import to the United States. I was born and raised in Europe, in Northern Europe, up in Norway. And I was there till I was 25, and then I left the country and went to the United States to go to flight school. I did graduate there, got all my certificates and ratings, and me and a partner, we started a flight school that ended up being an international air taxi and an air carrier. And but, you know, when you fly too much, I don't care if you own the company or you enjoy what you're doing, you burn out sometimes, and that happened to me. So I started to do other things like diving into the mind. What is it? How can we work with it? And how can we do some amazing things with it? And it got very interesting. So oh, gosh, I don't know. I've been in Tucson for 20 years, Tucson, Arizona, and I hosted and produced two TV shows in Tucson where I was kind of doing on the TV what Art Bell was doing on the radio. That kind of give you an idea. And I'm hosting with a co-host three different shows on the radio right now. I do a broadcast Team Alpha with Nori Love and the Universal Consciousness Show with Diana over in Germany. And otherwise, I don't know. It's if you just Google my name on the internet, then you'll probably know more about me than I do.
Well, we've got a link up to make it easier, folks. We've got a link up to Augie and his work so you can find it a little bit easier and follow up on the many topics we're going to cover today. Now, you said consciousness is kind of one of your favorite aspects in talking about it. It's the most elusive, though. I mean, nobody really knows or understands where consciousness resides. Science has peered through that veil and can't come up with any definitive answer. Metaphysics seems to bounce around between it being outside the human form or inside the mind. What do you believe?
Yeah, and that's true. They're thinking it's inside the mind. But then in order to understand that one, we have to understand what is the mind. That's also an elusive one.
Yes.
But if we look at our existence, and I didn't say life, I said existence, we can draw some parallels and we can get some explanations out of quantum mechanics. In fact, this is one that very few people know about, and that is that, back up just a second. Everybody saw the movie The Matrix, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, and there's another one coming out.
I know, I heard a fourth Matrix movie. I don't know that we need it, but what the hell? Keanu's on a roll.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I don't know what's in it, but it's going to be good. But I tell you, there is a theoretical physicist, and I saw him on YouTube with Degrassi, and they were doing a kind of a panel, and James Gate, he said something that blew me away right away when he said it, and he said that he discovered a form of computer code embedded in the equations of supersymmetry that describes fundamental particles like atoms, electrons, protons, muons, all the way down to omegons, and all the way down to the size of nothing. And we are made of those particles. So if there's a computer code buried in the fabric of space, now that's ones and zeros, it says, in concepts representing ones and zeros. Actually, why is that so hard to believe? DNA has computer code in it. And all organic material has DNA. DNA has those particles also. And if there is computer code in the fabric of space, that tells me and most thinking people that there is a system creating this existence around us that is somewhat similar to a computer program. And now that brings us closer to the Matrix again. But I'm not really concerned about that so much. What really I want to know is, who's running the computer?
Right, or is the computer running us?
Yeah.
Right? Have the makers of this died off long ago, and this is just the game playing out whether anybody's here or not?
Actually, you may be onto something there, because I thought about that, and that is that maybe we, with our portion of that universal self-aware consciousness out there, our portion of it could be creating that computer code that runs our system that we're living in. And, boy, I tell you, this gets deep, but if you find James Gates... Dr. James Gates, he's a theoretical physicist. He has come up with some phenomenal ideas that really is, well, it changes our reality, what we think is reality anyway.
Do you think that we will find a way to hack consciousness and create a telepathic link, a neural net of humanity eventually that will be easier and accessible to all?
Absolutely. And I tell you, I've done that, and we're in the process of doing it on a large scale here shortly with a mastermind. And James Gates, he explained that there is a computer program that runs the show here, but he doesn't explain how. Now, what we can do, we can tap into with our mind, we can tap into this computer program. But in order to do that, we have to know the computer language. And this conscious computer program doesn't work on, it's not one of words. It has a different computer language. It's written up maybe in ones and zeros, but the language that we communicate with it is not one of words. It's one of emotion, love, gratitude, vivid, colorful images, and things like that. That's how we communicate with the universal mind.
Here's something weird, though, Augie. Really, if we do find a way to make this connectivity, first of all, you think, okay, great. Once we're able to connect telepathically to one another, you would think that that would open up an evolutionary doorway that would kind of even the playing field.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That people that, you know, our enemies might not be our enemies if they understood where our thought process comes from. But on the other side of things, like every good computer network, there's going to be some viruses, and you're dealing with people that have some broken brains and consciousness out yeah. there, Augie, people with radical, psychotic, hate-filled ideas. If that's part of this super neural network that we're going to have, how are we going to be able to shut down those ports so that our mind is not continually crushed by the people that are mentally deranged?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I wrote a book. It's called Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. In there, I explain in fairly good detail on how to do this and how to tap into both the universal mind and also how to deal with telepathy. Can you imagine if people are able to understand each other's thinking? Wouldn't politicians have a problem on their hands? They couldn't
as would religious leaders.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, the whole concept of all of that would come together and be part of one dramatic conscious wave, I would guess. We'd be able to finally discern between the fact and fiction and reality. There would be no need for politics if we did have this as well, would you think?
Yeah, there would be just one simple concept, truth. It would all boil down to when somebody's lying to you, you would know it, so it would be no purpose for anybody to even try lying anymore.
All right. Now, can you tell me, in this case, though, is humanity really ready for that kind of step? I mean, we already know that there are some people, it's been shown in twins and in family relations, mm-hmm. where you have simpatico telepathic connections. You probably have it happen more often than you think when you're sitting there considering, you know, I wonder what's going on. I freaked my daughter out with this week. I picked up my phone and I told the phone, contact eye clinic. And it said contacting eye clinic. When my phone began ringing, it was the eye clinic calling me to tell me my new glasses were in. So it was within that brief second, my daughter was like, wow, how the hell did that happen, Dad? And I said, well, you know, I might've been cluing in on the fact that they were getting ready to contact me. So, you know, there is this kind of connectivity, but are we ready as a species to have that happen? I mean, I would think that could be overwhelming in a very bad way to most.
Well, I am ready for it, but mankind as a whole probably will have to have a little bit of an adjustment period here. I'm not so sure they're quite, especially people that work for government, they don't want any part of it. And religion, yeah, I totally agree on that one. But I think it's going to go there. Because we are going through a process now, because we are at the end of this great circle of 24,000 years. We are coming into a region of space where there is a spike of energy coming out from the center of the galaxy, and we are moving into it. Within the next 10 years or so, we will be through this region of space, and it will raise our vibration. And we can already see it and feel it. People are changing, and especially people that I could talk to about stuff 10, 15 years ago, they walk off on me, but now they listen. So people are more receptive to more truth and higher conscious knowledge. This is going to get much more prevalent in the few years to come. And I'm looking forward to that because it's going to happen whether people like it or not. And we will have a chance when we get into the depth of this spike of energy coming out. We're going to have the chance to those of us that have this higher vibration already and looking for it. We're going to have the chance to leave the garbage behind and stay there. That'll be kind of a new world. Some people call it the end of the world. Well, no, there is no end. There is just beginning some new concepts being adapted.
I'm looking forward. And I'm hoping that that is the case. I don't, you know, I mean, obviously so many of us now share kind of our, what's the word I'm looking for? Our empathy, our emotions, our thoughts, you know, people are picking up on that more. I run more into people that feel overwhelmed by the emotions of others, this empathic realm. To me, it seems like that's the, you know, that's just another part of this evolutionary process. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, if we are truly nothing more than a simulation, it would make sense that behind the scenes, our programming is talking to one another all the time. That's the way it is in video games. Everything dictates the other thing. And you can, you know, it knows where the other pieces are going to go and converses, even though they're doing something in the foreground, there's back chatter going on. So maybe that back chatter is something we're starting to learn to open up to and tie into at this point.
Yeah, we don't really know how it's going to unfold, but we know that it is going to unfold. And, you know, remember also that the dark side will not roll over and die necessarily unless it has to. And they're going to be fighting tooth and nail to keep their programs of control in place. So, and we see that in politics and other places, that religion and so on. So even the Catholic Church now is starting to change their ways. They're saying, oh yeah, we know there is alien species out there and we welcome them because they are God's creatures too. They totally changed within the last decade or so. They have adapted this language. So they know that something's going to happen, and they want to be postured to take advantage of it. That's my opinion. Yeah.
With the way consciousness is going, and the fact that is there this kind of this scenario, computer program running that we're all a part of. Wouldn't it be depressing as hell to find out, though, that that is the case, that this is just a simulation? Because then that means that everything we're experiencing is really for naught. I mean, it is for a greater, experience for the end game user, the player of this game, because it's adapting. But to find out we're all not part of this, I don't get it.
Yeah, but still, we're having fun playing in it, and at least I am. And this computer program is not just a physical one. There is one on the higher vibration into the astral worlds, into the divanic worlds, and higher spiritual worlds. It's all part of this computer program. And for the ones in the program, it's been around a very long time, since way beyond the beginning, and it will be around for a long time. So I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to turn the switch to off and shut everything off. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to continue and continue and be a form of learning process for the universal consciousness in us to grow and learn and enjoy itself by playing games and having fun. And
right now, Augie, if they want to start tapping into that aspect of who they are, what are you doing that's working so effectively? What tips and hints can you give to our listeners around the world that may be fascinated and interested in trying this?
I got two suggestions. One of them is that higher consciousness usually comes through meditation. There's a saying out there, everybody should meditate 20 minutes a day. If you are too busy to do that, you need to meditate an hour. So I tell you, once you start meditating, closing the mind down and opening yourself up for impressions from that universal self-aware consciousness out there, you start communicating with it. Because normally our minds are running 90 miles an hour, and my mind was running 450 miles an hour. I'm a pilot, remember? So it's just like we open ourselves up. When we close the mind down and get rid of the unwanted clutter and chatter in our conscious mind, then the messages and communication from the higher mind is able to come through all the way up to conscious understanding. And then we start learning things that we think would be impossible. To give you an example, this can come through meditation. It's about 5 years ago now. I had an incredible experience where I was sitting in meditation and I could see light coming in from the periphery of my field of vision, so to speak, even though my eyes were closed. And it got more and more light, and it was coming into the center in front of me, and it filled up. So I was sitting inside this ball of bright light, but it wasn't hurting the eyes or anything. And then I could start seeing things in that soup of light. There were concept ideas, inventions, a lot of invention, future things, and which I have written down. And there were things of the distant past, things that I was interested in stood out more than the things that I had couldn't care about. But it lasted for about somewhere between 5 to 10 seconds, and then it faded out. The whole universe was downloaded into my mind, both in concept and full understanding. So afterwards, of course, I sat there and thought about it, and I said, wow, you know, what do I do with this? And I didn't want to talk to anybody. They would probably think I was more nuts than I was really. And I talked to another guy, and I explained to him what happened. He says, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. He says, there's a lot of people that have had that, artists and writers, and Nikola Tesla. He said in an interview one time, he says, I saw the past, present, and the future at the same time. That's what happened to me. And when I started reading and studying quantum mechanics, then I realized that, hey, this is real. I can write about this. And that's what came out in this book, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. I was shown how to interact with the universal consciousness. And it's really simple. All we have to do is to get rid of the clutter, and then with intention, we send messages into the quantum, and it may not come back right away. It could be 20 minutes, could be an hour, could be 3 days. It come back in the shower, could be anywhere it comes back. But you would most likely have an answer to what you asked. There's a method for this, and I explain that in the book, because this is something that once you start meditating, this will come to you. If you... I actually didn't say may come to you. I said will come to you if you stay with it and keep practicing. You do your 20 minutes a day or more. I do more than that now most of the time. But meditation can also be done just 2 minutes at your desk at work or lunch break or wherever you are where you have a little bit of privacy. Then you open up the mind, you exercise the channel into the subconscious that goes to the superconscious mind, that from there on out into the universal mind, and you get that flow of information going back and forth. So this is usually the beginning for people. And the other suggestion I would have is that...
Now, a lot of our listeners, too, Augie, we do intention experiments on this program often.
Oh.
Whether you call them prayer and healing requests or intention. Now, I've got to tell you, last week we took a stand and did an intention experiment last Saturday on our program regarding the fires in Australia. And folks, I'm getting more and more emails, news stories being sent to me. Rain is showing up in Australia. We are close to helping and continuing this, folks. Rain came out of nowhere. I don't think it came out of nowhere. And I'm not saying it all came from the listeners of our show, but when you've got 100,000 plus listeners tuning in, and then you've got people from around the world focusing on bringing rain, they're asking for any help, miracle or not. So please do go check. There are ways to make donations financially to help our friends in Australia that are dealing with the loss of homes and animals. But continue to send those intentions. And I'll send it again right now, folks, while we're thinking about it. Imagine Australia. Picture the fires, but picture them dwindling. Picture beautiful, plump, voluptuous rain clouds floating overhead, just releasing the rain in a deluge that just takes out the fire, that does no other damage, doesn't wreak havoc with floods or anything else. Just imagine the smoke rising up from the quenched fires. Imagine that, folks. Keep putting that out there. Keep putting the thought of rain, rain, rain to Australia and help them out. Millions of animals have been lost. People are being displaced from their homes and businesses. Life is going to be different for the people of Australia once this is over and done with. And please just keep throwing that out there, whether it's prayer or intention. Something seems to be working. So go do that while you're thinking about it, folks. That's always a big help. Speaking of big helps, Tim, I've got to throw something at you, buddy.
Huh?
HelloFresh. It's that time again, folks. Listen, Tim and I talk about it. We don't beat you down the head with it because we want you to make the decisions for yourself. If you're looking to eat good, eat healthy on a good price plan and find something that's going to appeal to everybody in your household, there's no reason for you not to get involved in HelloFresh. Tim and I have been eating it and touting it for years. HelloFresh recipes are delicious, right? So you could break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh's 22-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes every week. And HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and prepping so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients mean there's less prep and you can make this food work well for you, make the meal quicker, and there's no food waste because it's all perfectly measured for your enjoyment. You can add extra meals or lunches to your weekly order as well, or throw in yummy sides and desserts like garlic bread and cookie dough. It's an easy exchange. Your delivery dates for food preferences. You can skip a week whenever you need if you're going to be out of town, like when Tim and I are going to be out on the Jericho cruise from the 19th to the 24th. We'll shut down and pause our HelloFresh deliveries. It's absolutely delicious. It's great food. I would highly recommend you taking the time to check it out. And HelloFresh is now making offers for $5.66 per serving. You heard that, $5.66 per serving. Where can you get a delicious meal that is filling, has everything you could possibly want for just $5.66 a serving? HelloFresh. They make it easier. It's America's number one meal kit. It's America's best value meal kit, and you definitely get the most meal for your moolah. Best value, delicious choice. Go check it out for yourself. And here's what we've got going for our listeners. Go to HelloFresh.com/10beyond. That's 10 BEYOND and use the code 10beyond. That's 10 BEYOND during HelloFresh's New Year's sale. You'll get 10 free meals, including free shipping. Again, HelloFresh.com/10beyond. That's 10 BEYOND. And then use that same code 10beyond during your checkout. You'll get 10 free meals, including free shipping. Check it out for yourself. We love it. You'll love it. HelloFresh. All right, we are talking with Augie Nost, and we're talking about all of the fascinating possibilities of what we are, what we could be you know, the intention experiments that we've done, we've seen some really stunning results over the years, Augie, and it shows me that there is something that can be done when many people come together with one thought.
I tell you, what you just did with that intention experiment is absolutely one of the reasons why it was rain in Australia. Remember the experiment Art Bell did about 25 years ago when Texas was burning up?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do, as a matter of fact, right.
He made it rain. There were, you know, he had a lot of listeners, and he told them to visualize rain over Texas. And it started raining that night. Next day, there were thunderstorms and rain showers everywhere over Texas. And there were no moisture in the computer models anywhere that could create that rain, but it did happen. You did the same thing.
We've seen it, you know, and Art learned an intention lesson, though. That's why I've tried to back it up now. You say, not enough to do damage, just enough to quench the fires. Because as I recall, he got a little nervous because there was so much intention and so much rain, it was actually causing damage. Yeah. We did that with an intention experiment when Colorado was in flames about 5-6 years ago. And we asked for focus and intent. Suddenly, roads were being washed out.
Yeah, I tell you, this is something that we're going to work on, too. With Nori Love and I have created a mastermind where we are putting people's mind together. And we're going to do an experiment on Australia here this coming Sunday. And, you know, remember, the mastermind is when two or more minds are united in harmony, they create a third mind that has the potential mind power of the two or more of them multiplied by each other. So if 1,000 people get together, you got the mind power of 1,000,000 minds. And if you get 100,000 people, well, you are you're creating some phenomenal results out there. And the average person may try to explain that away. It doesn't work. If you look into quantum mechanics, there is an explanation why you were able to help on the rain in Australia.
It'd be it would be great if we could start to come together more for these type of things. And you know what? Maybe, Tim, maybe every week we should start creating an intention experiment for different things.
Absolutely. And I would love to be part of that.
Sure. Let's talk it out and we'll see what we can bring forth, you know, whether it's peace. You know, the other day I did ask too on my other show, Midnight in the Desert, that we just all focus on peace and everybody taking a step back and making better decisions and getting clearer answers instead of knee jerk reactions and emotional response to the tensions building around the world. Maybe if we start sending some positivity out that way, we will see some changes. I know I'm living in a utopian environment in my head, folks, but I'd rather be there than wallowing in the mud of despair. So I'd rather focus on the positive than dealing with the negative.
Yeah, absolutely. And the mastermind that we're putting together here is, in fact, if people want to be part of that one also, you can email us at themastermindconnection@gmail.com. And we'll get you some information on it and you know, when we do things.
All right, let's take another dive as we're talking about this into the concept of reversing the aging process. Now, Augie, I just cracked over the 52 age marker, and I'm feeling 95 years old in my 52 years. Achy, breaky, bendy, and shaky. But, you know, how do we start to reverse this aging process? Is it something supernatural? Do I need to drink the blood of virgin black cats? What do I need to do to start turning this around?
No. I don't think that will work for you if you did it that way.
Well, thanks for taking all the fun out of it. All right. Well, what's the better way to do it?
I would say what I'm going to say right now is backed by science, and it's not just me saying this, because in 2009, three doctors was given the Nobel Prize for discovering an enzyme that reverses the aging process, and nobody told us about it. And of course, we can understand why, because what would happen to Social Security and pension programs if people quit dying, right? Oh, well,
right.
Yeah, we understand that. So nobody's going to tell you about this, but I will. And in order to prove it to yourself, go to the Nobel Committee's website, scroll down to 2009, scroll into further down to medical submissions, and read the papers. You are going to love it. Because they found an enzyme called telomerase, T-E-L-E, oh gosh, I'm not so sure I can spell that one. Telomerase is what it's.
Let them figure it out themselves, Augie.
Yeah, there you go.
T-E-L-E, merase. They can do the rest.
Yeah, that's good enough. Because they, see, science know why we get old. And older and older and eventually die. Science have figured it out, but they haven't told us. Because the aging process is advanced because of the end of the chromosomes, which is called the telomeres, are getting shorter and shorter and shorter for every time the cell divides. Now, when the telomeres are getting so short that they are no longer able to hold the end of the chromosome together, the ends start fraying, and the cell is no longer able to replicate itself, and you get stuck with old cells in the body, and you get older and more old cells, and you get older and older, and you eventually will die. But there is a way, you having this enough of this enzyme in the body, the telomeres will not shorten. And you will not have that progression of what appears as aging. I am doing it. I'm 73. I'm 74 in another month or so. And I've been accused of being younger than that. And I have more energy than anybody I know. I work 12 to 16 hours a day. And I really enjoy myself because I know this is working for me. And it's not just me doing this. Other people are now doing this, what I'm doing. And I have researched older people, and I found some. There's two examples I'm going to mention really quick for you. One of them was a Chinese university professor came to New York in the 1950s and on an exchange program. So and he was teaching at New York University, I believe it was. And one evening he went out with some colleagues and had dinner, and he got food poisoning and died. Well, he ended up at the morgue, and they went through his papers, found his passport, and they called the ambassador and said, there's something wrong here. This guy is 154 years old. That can't be so. And the ambassador told them, yes, it is. And they said, how? And the ambassador told them, first of all, he only eats Chinese herbs and berries, and he knew he could never die. 154 years old, and he, from the pictures, that was written up in the New York Times, and the pictures showed him probably about 60, maybe possibly 70 of age. And that's all.
That's remarkable. Now, so what can we do? What is the enzyme? What do we take?
Yeah, but first, there was another guy I found, and he died from an accident at 256. He was a martial art instructor for the army in China, and the government verified his age. So this is real. And when you can actually go on YouTube and watch something about telomeres. Use that word as a key, and you will learn a lot about how to do this. Now, I, in my book, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness, I explain what I do. And I'm doing the same thing as Li Xing Yuan did in China that got to become 256. I'm eating the same herbs that he may have had some more than what I'm doing. But there is also a book that is written by some American doctors and And well, I think, I don't know, but the book is called How to Reprogram Your DNA for Optimum Health. And this is also a good one. It doesn't go into exactly, it explains what it is and what aging is and how maybe you can slow it down. They don't go as far as reversing it, but it is very possible to reverse it. And I found a lot of other old people around the globe once I started researching this. But I am taking some herbals, and it seems to work. So the process is fairly simple. What I'm doing, it probably set me back about $40, $50 a month. So it is something that pretty much everybody can do. And now I'm going to read off some of these herbals that the herbalist Li Xingyuan takes. And the most important one that through medical research has been found to work as a reversal of the aging process is astragalus in the large doses. And I'm taking it in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and maybe another time sometime during the day. And otherwise, he ate lingxi, a lot of goji berries, wild ginseng, or I don't know, wild ginseng. I'm not able to find the kind, so I'm using Korean ginseng, and that's good enough for me. He shou vu is another herb. Gotu kola and astragalus. These are the ones that I am taking. And I tell you, it seems to work for me. I took some pictures about 2 years ago when I started, and let's face it, I started to look a little rough around the edges. So some of these things at the corner of your eye called crow's feet, they're starting to go away. So I know, for me, it works.
See, Tim and I just stopped smiling years ago, so that way we wouldn't get crow's feet or the forehead lines. We find that's the best way.
It works well. Yeah.
Yeah. Golf clap. Only when we're okay. Excited. That's the extent.
Yeah.
I like it. If we could turn back. Oh, boy, I'm starting to quote Cher there, Tim. Did you hear that?
If I could turn back time.
Yeah.
I would love that ability, and I'll look into it. We're not here touting herbalists and herbal remedies, folks. This isn't turning into an infomercial, but it's something to consider. What are the different beliefs around the world where you're seeing people that are living in good states up until 100 plus? I mean, that's, do they really get to 250? I have a hard time believing that, but I guess if you're doing things right in the right mindset and physicality, why not?
Yeah, the thing about it also is that you're not going to get those ages, you know, going to McDonald's Street, you know, I did say the name, I guess, but fast food joints, you know, 3-4 times a week, and or the general American diet, it is guaranteed to kill you eventually. But if you start stepping out of that, start going to what... Do what the successful people do, and you will become like them. And that's what I'm going for, because what these people doing worked for them. And of course, we're almost sniffing at the concept of immortality here, even though I think that's pretty difficult to attain, because sooner or later, you know, you're going to have an accident, step in front of a bus or whatever, and then odds are off.
He's looking at you, Tim, not me.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But no, I think that immortality is if you've been working at your present job for, let's say, 12 years and you're already bored stiff doing it, you know, no, that's different. If you love what you're doing, if you're involved in concepts and projects that make something good for yourself and mankind, I can see. Do something that will extend that enjoyment, then I can see. But if you're totally bored and bored out of your gourd and don't want any part of this world anymore, just let it go. Start over again. You know, recycling is a good thing. Come back and do something exciting next time.
Well, I like that thinking. I like that thinking. We need to take a break. We will come back. We've got more to discuss. Consciousness, time travel, turning back time. Who and what is on the moon and what and who was on Mars? We'll find out more when we return our guest, Agi Nast, right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. This is one of my all-time favorite games. It is a casual game I take with me on the road, when I'm bored at home, those few instances when I get 5, 10, 15 minutes to myself, Tim, and I don't want to think, I don't want to pressure myself, I don't want to worry about the news that's on TV. All I want to do is have some fun, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Best Fiends is a casual game that anyone can play, although it is kind of made for adults. You can spend as much or as little time as you'd like in this game. It's a lot of fun, great levels, so much cool stuff to do. I said I shut down the brain. I don't shut it down completely, because this is a game that's filled with puzzles and really, you know, get your mind thinking in a positive way. Plus, it's brightly colored, great character development, different puzzles to consider all the time. And I, like I said, I'll play this game. Some days I play it for 5-10 minutes. Other days I find myself just a little bit extra time to kill, whether I'm sitting around waiting for a doctor's appointment or unable to sleep at night. I pop on Best Fiends and I have a blast. Plus, I love seeing so many of you that are also playing the game, friends of mine on Facebook, as we pass one another on these always shifting, moving levels. My fun is always in watching Tim fall behind me, far behind me, what? As I show him that I'm truly the Best Fiends champion in this show.
What?
Well, I do get ahead of you quite often. Of course, I wake up the next morning and he's 20 steps ahead of me, but that's nonetheless, I catch right back up, folks. Just shows you how good I am. Bright colors, great visual design and style, and the characters themselves are great. That's why this is a 5-star rated game. Great characters, challenging fun puzzles, everything you could possibly want. All right? All of the characters are bugs. Well, most of them anyway. And the antagonists are slugs. And we all have those slugs in our life, Tim, that irritate us. You can kind of project the image of those slugs from your work or home onto these beings as you destroy them and move through. It's kind of a nice little motivating factor in the game, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
It's unique, it's exciting, and it's a great puzzle experience. Unlike any other puzzle games out there, Best Fiends updates the game as well monthly, so there's always new levels and events. It never gets old. And Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players. If you find yourself, you know, looking to kill a little bit of time and you want something fun to engage your mind, check out Best Fiends. It does not require the internet to play. It's great for traveling. You can play it anywhere. Planes, subway, trains, cars, bathrooms, waiting for your toilet paper delivering Roomba to bring you your toilet paper roll, Tim. You've got this. You've got Best Fiends to keep you company. So engage your brain with fun puzzles, collect tons of really cute characters, and trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. And you'll be able to play along with Tim and I. As a matter of fact, let us know. Get a good screen cap when you see us and you're passing us. Screen cap that you just passed us by and then post it on our social media. You can taunt us a little bit. I'm okay with that. I'm secure enough in my Best Fiends manhood that I don't mind being challenged by you, our friends and followers around the world. That's Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
If you love true crime podcasts, Podcast One is a perfect destination. We've got two awesome true crime podcasts trending right now, and you have to check them out. First up, based on the iconic series on A&E, Cold Case Files explores some of the most difficult to solve murders, which stymied investigators and went cold, sometimes for decades. Next up, Copycat Killers is the latest podcast from Reels and Podcast One. Every episode takes you behind the scenes of real-life murder cases, which copy memorable slayings seen in Hollywood movies. Check out both Cold Case Files and Copycat Killers. They're going to be your next favorite true crime podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and many of your favorite podcast listening apps.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the program. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave. That's Tim. And we have some cool stuff happening. Big news. It'll be released this month. And we would love for you to keep checking darknessradio.com. And if you have an iPhone or a Droid phone, go to your app stores and get the free Darkness Radio app so you never miss another minute in the best in paranormal talk radio. For those of you that are getting the show regularly, you notice that you got a free episode this week. Free episode. And it was one of our True Crime Tuesday episodes. We didn't include the Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. In order to get that, you had to be subscribed to our regular service. But there was a very important story that came out this week. And Playing Dead, it was the name of the book. And the author was with us, a survivor. And we felt it was a very important story that we hope that when you listen to and share with others may save some lives. So if you have not yet had a chance, please go listen to that episode and give it a listen. And remember, folks, iTunes, please go and rate and review the show and let people know that we exist out there and push it up in their ratings by rating and reviewing it. We'd appreciate your help. All right. Augie Nost, our guest, as we continue today's program. And we've been talking about, reversing the aging process, consciousness. I love time travel. And I know we're going to talk about the moon and Mars in a little bit, but talk to me about time travel, Augie. Is this something that you think we're on the precipice of doing, or have we already done it?
Well, I am totally convinced that governments have been working on this for a long time, and they have perfected it. The reason I'm thinking that way is because there are people that has perfected it. And if people are perfecting it, I know the government has been working on it for a long time. And then again, there are some evidence in pictures around the world. If you there is a in Abydos, Egypt, there is a panel on the wall of it's a castle. It's not a pyramid. It's a smaller building where you have these carvings of helicopters on the wall. They are exactly like helicopters would look. And that's just one. And then here is something that you may want to write down. If you go to the website www.aage-nost.com, it's one of my websites. If you go into the picture gallery, go to page 8, I think it's about 7 or 8 rows of pictures down. I have some pictorial evidence, pictures of time travel that I have taken. So go there and have a look at that.
Now, wait, when you say pictures of time travel you've taken, what does that mean?
That means that I took them when I went there.
You time travel?
Yeah, I have had some experiences with that. I have an electronic device that I had some very strange experiences with. In fact, BBC television found out about this, and they came over to the United States and did a TV documentary with me and Michio Kaku and Green and several other theoretical physicists. And I demonstrated that little electronic device on the TV documentary. That documentary was shown to about 1 billion people around the world, pretty much every English-speaking country.
Okay.
And there is there is some evidence for the fact that this is going on. In fact, in the back of my book, Science, there, I also explain how people can do this. I don't use the electronic device anymore. I use the mind now. And what I did in this was about 9 years ago, I took these pictures. And what I was actually sitting at the computer watching a European website for a newspaper back there, where they had some, you know, cameras for different sections of town, my old hometown. And I projected myself. I first took a picture of the street where it was. And it had, you know, it had rained and it was just wet everywhere. And then several hours later, I went back and I projected myself back to the same time. And I took a screenshot again. Now, this time the picture shows up different. It is dry. The leaves on the trees are gone. And it's a totally different picture. And I got this on my website because the date stamp that shows, you know, what I missed it by about a minute and 4 seconds, I think it was. But these kinds of changes don't happen in a minute. So there is clear evidence that something's going on. I have invited anybody to, if they want to take it to a serious investigator to investigate the pictures. I'll be glad to send them the actual photos, because nothing was manipulated in those photos.
All right. Well, you're experimenting or seizing time in these senses. Are you physically there? Is this an astral projection form of time? How can you explain this type of travel?
Well, the thing about it is that if it was just an astral projection, I wouldn't be able to take a physical picture. And that's where I am about 99% sure that it actually happened physically, where I was removed from the time I was back to the time when I took the, because that's what I concentrated on in my mind. There is a vibration you've got to set up in your mind with intention and so on to do this. And that's what I did, and that's what happened. Now, time travel is, if we look at quantum mechanics, they're saying that outside of the physical, in the higher vibration, the past, present, and the future is just there, sitting there in the same location. So there is no distance between the past, present, and the future. It is all there sitting as potential for physical reality. So if we are in the present, and we move outside our mind, outside of the physical, we can access the past and the future, because it is right there at the same, I almost used the word time, but it's in the same location. So we can actually move that presence into the past and observe the past, and then we can go back to the past into the physical at that time, because now time goes back to its normal composition.
So, do you think people should be leery of that ability? Can we? I mean, obviously, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's been proven over and over and over again.
Yeah.
If we have the ability to alter time, is that something we should really be chasing?
I think that you need to understand it first, because when you are moving yourself from, let's say, the present into the past, I would say there is likely, or maybe not so likely, but it's a chance you could end up in a different timeline. And things may look the same, but there are small differences that are different. And that's what happened to me. Because when I went back, I ended up in a different timeline, because obviously it was a different timeline, because the first picture I took had rain in it and leaves on the trees. The second one had none of that. It had dry roads and no leaves on the trees. So it was a different timeline. And when I came back, I am not sure if I actually continued that timeline or if I came back to the same timeline. I don't know if I have a way to know that. But another thing too is if I'm using the electronic device, which is made by Stephen Gibbs over in Kansas, if you use that electronic device, I would say it is an electronic one, so it's plugged in the wall. I don't know what would happen if you went back 1,000 years where there is no electricity. Would you be able to get back the same way? That is an enigma that I haven't tested out, and I don't want to.
Jumping gigawatts, Marty. We need a lightning bolt. That's all you need, a lightning bolt. You've learned these things. You should know this stuff already by now, Adgi. Come on.
Yeah, I'm a little slow.
The future would never lie to us about this, would they?
Well, I know there is always questions about that, but I've invited people to check the pictures out, and they're going to find there is no alterations in pixels.
All right. I'm fascinated by the whole concept. Listen, time travel is the one thing I wish I could do, whether it was just consciously sending my mind somewhere, which I think we kind of do. How many times do we revisit a place in our history watching through the mind's eye everything that took place? To me, that is a form of time travel. I just don't know how much influence we have over it.
Yeah. Let me give you a quick one to think about. How many times have you had it happen that you come back home, you got your hands full of grocery bags, and you put your keys down on the island in the kitchen, and you go put your groceries away, you go back to grab your keys, and the keys are gone? Okay, you put them in your pocket. Maybe you put them somewhere you can't find them. So about an hour later, you come back, and doggone it, there they are on the island again. I've had that happen. And I think a lot of people have similar things happen, that you don't recognize the results of what you thought you did.
Right.
That is time slippage. You end up in a different timeline next to the one where you are. And then you slip back into it again, and there's the keys. I think a lot of people have that happening.
Now, the book, folks, we have a link for it in today's show programming, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. Learn how to expand the power of the mind at every level of existence. Agi Nast's book, we have a link up to that. We also have a link up to his website so you can find more information out about him and the projects that he's working on. All right. Yeah, I want to talk, and I know that you were interested in talking about the moon and Mars and discussing who or what was there. Which one do you want to start off with?
Well, maybe first about what is the moon? I mean, we can see it, but if you start looking into it, there is more explanations to why the moon should not be there than the explanations to why it is there. Because NASA is telling us that it's a dead rock in the sky. Well, there is a problem here because I researched them quite a bit. I dived into NASA's, through the Freedom of Information Act, I got a lot of pictures. And I ran into pictures that is marked top secret, eyes only. If it is a dead rock in the sky, why would they do that? So the thing is that here's something. We know how far the moon is away. We know how big it is. We know the weight of it. We know how fast it is going around the world, around Earth, so we know what kind of centrifugal force is being exerted by that. We know the gravity. We know how big Earth is, and we know how much gravity it puts out to hold the moon there. Now, if you put all that into a computer, it doesn't come out. Because the moon cannot physically, there's no equations that show how the moon can stay in that orbit. It is too big, too heavy. It should be about two-thirds further out. I know this because I had a physicist run this through his computer in Nebraska. And now the thing is...
So what does that tell us then? How is it there? What information were you able to glean?
If the moon is hollow, it could make perfect sense that it stays where it is. And when we look at those pictures, did I send you the video documentary that I did with all the pictures on the moon?
Yes, you did. Yes.
Okay, there is some really, really good pictures there. And in fact, one of them is a person walking on the surface. It's a NASA print taken from a spacecraft in orbit around the moon, and then blew it up, and there is this person walking on the surface. I also have NASA prints of a 2-mile-long cigar-shaped ship floating across the surface of the moon, throwing a shadow on the ground, and it's so clear there is no chance it could be even argued what it is. And we have also pictures of a spacecraft which is probably about 60 miles long, laying on the surface. It looked like it is wrecked. It's been there a long time. There's got a lot of pit marks in it from meteorites and stuff. And an astral traveler would be able to go there and have a look at things. There is a picture on the moon of a building on the ground that looks just like a swastika. I think that picture was in the documentary I sent you. And in that building, when the Germans, right about 1945... when they created the first, they had the Hindenburg developed for quite a few years, but they finally got to the Hindenburg 3 that was able to for interplanetary travel. They went there and mapped the moon also, as we did in 1968 actually. They found this building and they fell in love with it. It's an old building, stone building, and they started developing a base in there. And today, there's a German colony right in that crater where that swastika is.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Well, okay. And I'm not trying to be rude to you. It's just, come on. I mean, that's a major claim.
Yes, it is. And see, the Germans, they had their own Roswell back in 1928, I think, and they got a hold of some technologies from that and several other things, and they've been there for a long time, and so have we. When I say we, I mean the Americans. They've been there a long time also, because there is pictures coming out of NASA prints that show activity up there. They show people up there. And I have on my website, I show several, actually three different pictures that show pyramids up there. And here's a hint. You don't build pyramids in vacuum, like we are told. You don't build that in spacesuits.
So, no, that's not possible.
Theoretically, maybe, but I don't think that is very likely. There is, and even on the NASA films themselves, you can so see that the flag is waving, and I also have another.
Well, now the flag waving, we understand, because it's actually, it's not waving. It's the way the flag was built, so that it would be upright. You know, we're America. We wanted to show our pride. So this wasn't an actual flag that would drop. So it was designed to stand out like that.
Yeah, I know that. That is one explanation to it. And it could very well be. It could very well be. Though there is another short film that I have somewhere on my website that show a tube coming out of the ground. And there is black smoke coming out of that tube, and it is all drifting in one direction. If there was no air there, it would spread out in all directions. So that also tells me there is some form of atmosphere up there. I have a picture also showing a little bit of a bluish haze across the curvature of the moon. So there is something up there. And my observation is that it's probably an air to maybe the equivalency of 16 to 18,000 feet of Earth, which is about a little between maybe one-third to one-half or about a third of what the air pressure is on Earth at sea level. So I'm going out on a limb here, but just for the fun of it sometime, find an astral traveler and interview him. In fact, you're talking to one.
Oh, we have. We've talked to astral travelers and remote viewers. And, you know, I'm always interested in what it is that they have to see. But again, the question remains for a lot of people is how can you discern it being a real experience and something that your brain vividly imagines? Consciousness has no way to tell the difference between the two.
Even though the astral vehicle has really no intelligence of its own, but it can observe. It operates mostly from memory and what it observes. There is one way that you can see if you are traveling in your mind or if it's just the astral vehicle. The astral vehicle is always attached to the physical body through a thin silvery cord. Now, there are other ways to travel. You could travel with consciousness only, then there is no cord. And then you can go just about anywhere. You can think yourself there. And the astral vehicle has more or less observe where you are going. It takes a little while to get to the moon. It doesn't, you know, you can get there pretty fast, but it takes a little while. Consciousness can bring you there in an instant. And this is something that is a concept that is alive and well, and a lot of people are doing it, and a lot of people have some phenomenal experiences.
Like now, myself. Now, for astral travel, then, is there any inherent dangers you've come across doing it?
You should study this concept a little bit before you go do it, because once you go out of the physical, the first place you enter is the lower astral worlds, which is not really a nice place. There is a lot of thought forms and entities there that really could play tricks on you or don't really have your best interest at heart. You should get through that. Accelerate yourself up and beyond that, and then go to the higher levels. Then there's no danger anywhere because there's nothing physically out there that can get hurt. But when I do this, I surround myself in a bubble of bright white light, and these entities in the lower astral worlds, they don't like the light much, so they're kind of afraid of it and they stay away. I have no problems whatsoever, and that's kind of what I would recommend for people to do.
Now, we talked a little bit about the Mars or moon issue. First of all, you believe there are beings on the moon at this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Human beings, aliens, what have you got?
All of that. The Germans are in the swastika, and the Americans have several bases. They got mining operations on the backside, and there are other species. In fact, the moon is hollow, and there is more. It's not a perfect hole in the middle. There are canals. There are tubes. There are, you know, kind of like a honeycomb structure, more or less, and it is more mass on the far side of the moon that it is on this side. That is one of the reasons that it is actually not turning or rotating. So what we have up there is many alien species that has bases there. And they are in many ways using it for their purpose, and also using it for, you know, observing us. Now, there is something here I'm going to say, a lot of people may not like it. There is slave labor going on the moon. It's run by the dark side of the black projects within our government. They are abducting people, a lot of children. They raise them and they use them for slave labor.
How are they doing this, and why aren't people seeing more ships going to the moon then? I mean, you even have so many amateur astronomers watching this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's a good one. How would you like to see UFOs every time you go outside?
I would love to.
Yeah. And I'll tell you how. Get your hands on a fourth generation night vision goggles and go outside after the sun is down, when it's at least dusk. Point that thing into the sky and you will see them. You will see the points of light moving back and forth in all directions, changing direction. You can see the cigars. You can see the triangular shapes and the circular ones. They are up there. It's almost like it's a traffic jam because there's so many of them. And these ships that is coming here, what they're doing, they are cloaking themselves. So you may not see them physically within the range of visual acuity that your eyes are capable of. But they are there. You just cannot see them physically.
Well, what about Mars itself? Is Mars inhabited?
Well, it appears to. We have pictures again of one of these video documentaries I sent you. We can see this little alien standing there about 20 feet away from the rover. And also, there is another NASA picture that show the shadow of a person standing next to the rover. So there is something up there. And of course, we have the buildings and there is some phenomenal pictures. If you go to www.broadcastteamalpha.com, and in those videos there, scroll down a little bit, you'll find the moon pictures, you find the Mars pictures. Watch them, because there is just flat evidence that there is things on the moon and on Mars. And these are NASA prints, and some of them are from the Russian Space Agency. And I think there's one on there from a Chinese space agency on one of the moon pictures. There is things up there that should not be there. And there is people or someone that brought it there. And it is there now, not just thousands of years ago, like maybe the face on Mars. Yeah, that's pretty old. That's probably at least 500,000 years old. But there's stuff there now, and the pictures show it. In fact, there's something here. If you really want to see what's going on the moon, get your hands on a NASA document. It's called Chronological Catalog of Lunar Events. It used to be classified, but I have it, and I read it, and it blew me away with all the activities on the moon. This was written up by Joseph F. Bloomridge, who was a leading engineer at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. He studied the moon for 18 months of all the NASA prints and also some of the Russian prints. And he came out and made a statement. He said the moon and Earth are and have been visited on a regular basis by extraterrestrial beings. That came from a guy that works at NASA.
All right. And the information's out there, folks. Got to do some work. Pull it all together.
Augie, we've got just a few minutes left together.
All right.
Obviously, you've host your show, Universal Consciousness. You have written books. You've got the information out there. What, in your opinion, are the most important aspects of your research that you want to make sure our listeners are aware of?
I would say do something that can make your life better. It's nice to know about all the stuff on the moon and Mars, and it's interesting, but make our lives better, living it every day. And we can do that not just for ourselves, but also for other people, like doing what you did with this mind experiment in Australia. Dive into the mind, study the mind, and you're going to be able to do some amazing things. And that's what we are doing with the Mastermind project that we have created. On send us an email at themastermindconnection@gmail.com and visit it. Be part of one of these experiments. We're going to do one on Australia and also on good health for everybody. We have done some phenomenal things in the past. A lady that was diagnosed with stage four pancreatic cancer, and we did a mind mastermind around her. 3 months later, she had no cancer in her body. Teresa is well now. So these are the kind of things that can happen. So join us and join you and work with the mind, because that's where the secrets and that's where the magic is.
I like it. I like it a lot. Thank you so much, Augie, for joining us today and giving us some insights. And folks, if you've got thoughts on these points, any of the topics, if you do the research into the information he's mentioned and you find discrepancies or you find the proof that we've been discussing, feel free to share it with me. Just email me directly, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And I'd like to read those emails up here in the future. Augie, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It was fun.
It was great. Thank you. And thank you all. We'll be back Tuesday with another edition of the best in true crime talk radio, True Crime Tuesday. If you haven't subscribed, then damn it, go subscribe. The show's good. We deserve your support to keep that show and this show going. And that's how you can do it, by subscribing to True Crime Tuesday. You can find information at darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spin on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast, and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 and top 5 products.